The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, a regular slot on Wednesdays here on the PK Show is the green scene, dealing with all things environmental and scientific. And Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of the Science Foundation, has joined me here in studio. And we have a Christmas theme. We're going to talk about reindeers and robins. Let's start with reindeers. Are there any in Ireland?
Well, there's probably a few visiting, and we'll certainly have a few over the next week or so, Ivan, for sure. But really, reindeer, we only really found out that Santa and reindeer went together with that poem, The Night Before Christmas, which we all know, in the 1800s. But of course, it's obvious when we think about it that reindeer are the perfect animal of choice to work with Santa over the next couple of weeks, because they have a range of amazing adaptations that help them in the snow.
Not least their feet. Tell me about their hooves.
Their feet are incredible. So their hooves, they have these bifurcated hooves, so their hooves are split into two, and they change in the warm and the cold. So when it's very, very cold, the pads inside their hoof shrink, and that enables the hard edge of the hoof to get traction on the ice. When the ice melts and it gets a little bit warmer, the pads expand, and on that slippy surface, that gives the reindeer grip on the wet tundra during the summer.
So what is the natural habitat? What country are they in? Is it the Nordic countries?
It is. It's up in this sort of tundra permafrost area. So they have to deal with all sorts of things. Obviously the cold, they've special two-layer coats with hollow hairs that help them to stay warm. And also, they don't have circadian rhythms like us, the adapting to
What's
night and day.
What's a circadian rhythm?
That's how we know when it's night and day, essentially, our body clock. So their body clock is sort of switched off to enable them to live in these long Arctic summers and Arctic winters. So it's no surprise that they're there by Santa's side, the perfect companion for him.
Okay, so you're saying they first came into folklore on the night before Christmas, the poem. Just develop that a bit. And it was like since then, it wasn't forever that Santa and reindeers were synonymous.
Well, not for us. I mean, I guess they always have been for him, but antlers have always been a big part of Christmas. I mean, they've been part of folk dances back to the 1200s, and they used to be used for decoration. But actually, the antlers tell us something amazing about reindeer. And you may not know this, Ivan, but all of Santa's reindeers are female.
Right.
Male reindeers lose their antlers after the mating season. Once they've done with their fighting to get a mate, they lose their antlers in November. So all of the reindeers that Santa is using are female.
Right. And you know the thing that the deer are most famed for, whether the reindeer or regular deer, is this rutting season.
Yes.
Would they do rutting as well?
Oh, undoubtedly.
Because we have them as sort of kind of genteel figures.
Well, absolutely. The males will be doing the rutting in the mating season in the late summer and autumn, but then they'll lose the antlers. So the reindeer that we see at Christmas are the females. And many of them may even be pregnant when they're doing that massive journey around the earth delivering all the presents. So they're superstars.
All right. Now, so basically, what's special about them is their feet. But what's this business of Rudolph and the red nose?
I know. Well, actually, science has also decided to tackle why Rudolph ended up with this red nose. And it's actually been suggested that he could have an infection. So he basically has an inflamed nose. So there's a Norwegian...
Like you have with a cold.
Yeah, exactly.
Or a whiskey nose if you drink too much.
Well, who knows? So there's the Norwegian scientist called Odd Halvorsen, and he has worked out reindeer really do suffer a lot with infections. There's about 20 known parasites, but there's one particular one called the reindeer warble fly, and that can squirt its larva into the nose of the reindeer. It's actually called a snotbot.
Sounds disgusting.
And it can make them have horrible red sore noses. So
right.
That's one reason why Rudolph could have its red nose. The other reason is back to those cold adaptations. Reindeer have loads of blood vessels in their nose to keep the air warm as it goes into their lungs. So poor old Rudolph could have a bad cold, but he could just be very well cold adapted.
All right. Now something I'm very familiar with. We have various trays to feed the birds at home, but right. Our two cats have put paid to that. Now, the red-breasted robin, they're actually very friendly and they make a lot of sound and so on, and they're really beautiful. They are around all year round, aren't they?
They are around all year round. And they are they do seem quite friendly. They'll pop down when you've been doing the gardening, but actually between each other, they're not that friendly. They're very territorial and they can get quite aggressive with each other. And in fact, this is new research. We associate robins with Christmas from the old Victorian times when the postman used to wear a red tunic and was called a robin redbreast, and that kind of translated into the cards. But, you know, we see them all around. But this new research tells us that actually urban and rural robins are quite different. And the urban robins are the real tough, aggressive ones, the guys who live in the cities. And what researchers in the UK and Turkey did was they decided to see why was this happening. And what they did was they put plastic robins into another robin's territory and they played robin singing sounds. And of course, the robin who was already there starts to shape up and get territorial. But when they play traffic sounds, the urban robins had adapted. They know there's no point trying to shout over the traffic sounds. So they stop, they wait for a break in the traffic, and then they start screaming at their intruder to get out of the way. Whereas the rural robins that had never been exposed to traffic noise, when presented with an intruder and traffic noise, they got incredibly agitated and cross, and they are flapping, they're sticking out their breasts. They'll even come over and try and attack this plastic robin that's come into their territory. So what scientists think is that urban robins over the years, they've basically had to shout above the traffic noise for so long, they've ended up as a more tetchy and aggressive version of the robin than their quieter.
And can I land this on you? Are you able to do an impression of a robin?
Oh,
try it.
I wouldn't have a clue.
No, because I'm trying to think of what it would sound like. And so far as you do, there's a particular walk I take by the river Slaney most days. It's about 6 kilometres. And I find just around dusk, the robins would be right in front of you on the footpath. And when you go, they go. But then 10 yards further on, they're still in front of you and so on. And they do make a very distinctive sort of almost whistling sound, would it be?
Maybe they think you're an invading robin, Ivan.
Right. Well, they're wrong there, but OK. So basically, you're saying that they have a bit of a temper.
They do. And they kind of get road rage. So that traffic noise, they don't like it. But actually, today, as well as the solstice, it's National Robin Day.
Is it?
It is National Robin Day.
It's always some sort of day. National Blowing Your Nose Day.
I know it is.
No, but I'm in favour of the robin.
Yes. And look, it's about reminding us they do need that food, water and shelter.
So I was just going to ask, how can you help the robin?
Exactly.
Leave out what for them?
Water. Particularly when it's frozen, leave out water, food, sunflower hearts, Niger seeds, fat balls. They love all of that. And if you can put up a little birdhouse, they're thrilled with a bit of shelter.
How did it become so associated with Christmas?
Well, it was back to those Victorian postmen. They used to wear these red tunics and they were called robin redbreasts, or robins for short. And when that went away, I think people were so attached to the idea that the goodwill towards the posties kind of migrated onto Christmas cards, and we still have them there today.
Well, there you have a Christmas green scene. My thanks to Dr. Ruth Freeman of the Science Foundation for enlightening us both on the red nose of reindeers and how lovely robins are.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.